This is the Future of Water, where we talk about all the ways in which companies, utilities, and people are addressing the challenges and opportunities in water. Let Bluefield Research be your guide to make better decisions or just to be better informed. Today, it's all about digital water forecast and, once again, the implications of a recession. Is the shift to remote workforces and monitoring a catalyst for change? Or how does Bluefield's perspective change amidst all of this disruption? What's next? And is there a silver lining somewhere in the value chain? I don't know. It doesn't feel this way, but it's still early in what's clearly a fast-moving situation, if you will. As many of you know, we've been discussing at Bluefield the impacts of a potential recession for some time. So market downturn or dip, at the very least, is quite honestly not a surprise at all to us at Bluefield, given the research we put out as recently as 2019. So never happens how we preferred. I've heard our guest today say some of the biggest movers and shakers emerged out of the last recession. Well, maybe we'll hear a little bit more about that in a minute. I am Reese Tisdale, and I'm joined today by Eric Bindler, Research Director for All Things Digital at Bluefield. Eric, how's it going?
Thanks, Reese. It's going pretty well. We got a sunny day here in Florida, so par for the course, I guess.
Nice. Oddly enough, I was talking to Erin Bonnie Casey not long ago while we were all work remotely. She's in Maine, and she just had snow last week, so I think you're better off.
Yeah, none of that here.
Look, you've had a lot of conversations with clients. We've had webcasts we put out for clients, and one of the questions has been, will this recession be a wake-up call for utilities, and will it accelerate digital adoption? What do you think?
Yeah, sure. No, I mean, it's kind of the question of the day. And I think, as you mentioned at the top, it is still early in this crisis. It's still early days. But I think the view that we took, even in the first week or so, and that I think has been really validated quite a bit by the conversations we've been having, by the stories that we've been hearing from the sector, is that the coronavirus crisis really has the potential to be a pretty significant inflection point or watershed moment for the digital transformation of the water industry. We're hearing about utilities that have made pretty robust investments in digital capabilities like remote monitoring and telemetry, or process automation and optimization, remote workforce management, customer management, cybersecurity. The stories that we're hearing suggest that the utilities that have already been proactive about getting these technologies on board and online have really been faring quite a bit better than the utilities that haven't. And so we expect that when the pandemic subsides, you know, whether that's in a few weeks, a few months, or even further down the line, and utilities can get back to a place of thinking about the future, thinking about their long-term resilience and strategy planning, we think that digital solutions are going to be kind of top of mind, top of the agenda. I think what's really important, what makes this crisis really unique in a lot of ways, is just the fact that the majority of the utility workforce has been forced to work remotely, right? We just saw an AWWA survey of U.S. and Canadian utilities that found that about 74% of the utilities surveyed in the past few weeks have already implemented work-at-home policies, which is up from about a quarter when they did the same survey 2 weeks prior, you know, in early March. And so very quickly, a significant share of the utilities in the country and in North America, I should say, have had to shift to this kind of remote work mentality. And we think that as these utilities become more and more reliant on digital technology to maintain access to their customers, their coworkers, their critical systems, this experience is really going to open them up to a better familiarity with digital technology, a better understanding of digital technology, potentially more trust in digital technology that we think is going to kind of build broader acceptance, broader adoption moving forward, and dispel some of those kind of longstanding cultural barriers that have been present in the industry for some time.
I mean, it's interesting to see, or even the conversations we've had with others in the industry, is even if this was 5 years ago, just the ability, just for basic communication, we've talked to clients about, hey, how's business? And it's like, well, I'm working from home, but at least conversations are still happening. Whereas it's not like the internet didn't exist 5 years ago, but even in our research at Bluefield, looking at data centers and the role of the cloud, like hyperscale data centers, a lot of things have changed kind of behind the scenes that have enabled this. I mean, if there's an upside to all of the digital economy, this is it, right? I mean, even Bluefield, we're all working from home right now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We've all kind of said it internally and you know, in conversations with clients, but it's certainly not the first crisis to hit the water sector. It's not going to be the last. And I think that utilities have for a long time had to think broadly about the challenges, the threats they face, the shocks and stressors that are coming in the future. But I think what is pretty unique about this is the fact that not only has it kind of hit all parts of the world, maybe not equally, but certainly there are a few countries on earth that are affected in some way or another. And certainly just within the context of the US, the virus is present in every state and utilities around the country have had to very quickly adopt a completely different way of working, of maintaining access to their infrastructure, to their assets, to their customers, to each other. And just that change and the speed at which that change has happened, I think, really does open the door to a lot of new ways of doing things, new ways of doing business. That kind of forced disruption maybe changes some old habits and opens the door for some new possibilities.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. One of the questions is, we just put out a report on the digital water markets. In brief, you looked at 19 different segments or subsegments of digital water and applications in the U.S., but I think this even goes beyond that as far as what's changed, like what parts of the sector have changed. How has your outlook changed?
I think the important thing is to think about the difference between the near-term impacts during the crisis and the immediate aftermath, and then what we kind of see moving forward. So I think in the near term, we do expect, and I think we've heard from different corners of the industry, that a pretty significant share of digital water projects, particularly larger strategic digital transformation projects, projects that are more capital or labor intensive, we're hearing that these are being put on hold as utilities close ranks, they pull back from any non-essential work, they shift focus to just maintaining critical operations, implementing business continuity plans, for example. In particular, those initiatives which require a good amount of on-site third-party labor, so smart metering rollouts, SCADA or enterprise software integrations. These projects are seeing delays as utilities really focus on adhering to social distancing and telework policies, shelter-in-place mandates where really only critical staff, critical field staff, for example, are out, you know, working outside of their homes. Just to put things in perspective, the smart metering market and the SCADA market alone account for about 70% of the total digital water market in the US and Canada. And so with these major projects being put on hold, our projections, having taken our model, adjusted some sensitivities to take stock of what we see happening now with COVID-19, we see the market falling by about 22% this year to $4.3 billion from about $5.4 billion in 2019. We do see the recovery start to take place during 2021 through 2022. Particularly as those delayed projects do end up moving forward and some pent-up demand is released after the crisis subsides. So that's the short term. I think then shifting gears to after 2022, as things start kind of getting back to some sort of a place of normalcy, we actually see the market accelerating at a faster rate than we had initially projected in our pre-crisis forecast. For all of those reasons that we were just discussing about this crisis, changing habits, changing new ways of doing things, putting digital technologies top of mind for future resilience planning. We call this our COVID accelerated scenario, and we're forecasting a 12-year compound annual growth rate of 8.7% by 2030, looking from the 2019 to 2030 period. So 8.7%, which would compare to 6.5% in our pre-crisis baseline steady flight scenario. Just to frame that in another way, we think that this crisis, by the end of the decade, could advance the digital water market by about 2 to 3 years by the latter half of the decade, with a total of about $9 billion in additional cumulative market value generated by the end of the decade.
For some of these, you know, deferred expenses, capital projects, how much of that do you think is because of people just can't go to work, right? It's kind of like, look, unless it's essential construction, it's just going to have to wait until things open up, whenever that is, whether that's Easter, May 1st, July 1st, or September 1st. So there's still a lot of unknowns, even when we talk to companies, vendors, service providers, utilities now, right?
No, absolutely. And I think we're all kind of waiting for the earnings calls to start popping up. I know Badger Meter is later this week, keeping an eye out for that one to see what they're seeing from a financial perspective. You know, some other players like Euler Hermes, some of the publicly traded players, to put some of those data points out there that we can start to wrap our heads around a little bit more. I think our assumption is just going technology segment by segment to look at what is the business model for this particular type of technology? What do the project installations look like? What are the kind of recurring fees if it's more of a software? Obviously, the kind of ongoing business, the recurring fees for existing customers, that's not going to go away, right? Utilities are still paying their bills. The difference is, yeah, like you mentioned, those projects where people are actually having to go out into the field, you know, for metering, for example, they're having to actually go out from home to home and install meters, or if we're talking like telemetry hardware, kind of going out and doing these installations in the field. And so certainly not all of that is going to be put on hold, but we do expect a decent amount of it to be as utilities really are closing ranks. People are working from home, hearing about utilities that are having teams of plant operators shelter in place at the treatment plants for 2-3 weeks at a time, just to be able to stay isolated from the rest of the world to prevent any risk of infection and keep those plants in operation. So when you've got that level of kind of crisis mode at a utility, you don't really expect anything that's not absolutely immediately critical to kind of be moving forward as usual, right? So that's the logic we're taking. And certainly as we continue to have these conversations with vendors, with utilities, as the earnings reports come out, we'll continue to shape our forecasts and our messaging.
Yeah, and I think to that point, there'll be a rollout of different digital technologies or different dynamics will play out for them, but also even countries like Europe, whether it be Denmark, right? If they're starting to open things up, so does their economy open up? Australia, they haven't been impacted all that much by COVID-19 because they took strict measures as far as travel in and out of the country. So maybe Australia, which is a big digital market among another select few, the US is just so massive that the impact there, it'll just take longer to play out for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the other key indicators for us that we're tracking is just project announcements. We keep an ongoing database of digital water projects announcements in the US, but also globally. And certainly, as I go through this stuff on a daily basis, it feels like things are quiet, feels like there's just less happening. I'm seeing less announcements, but that doesn't mean that I'm not seeing any announcements. There is still some activity taking place, and I think it will be interesting. I've got my finger on the pulse of what's happening in Australia, in the UK, and other parts of Europe. And so seeing how that activity starts to pick back up again and unfold in different places over the next couple weeks or months, as you mentioned, as different markets kind of open back up again, I think that will be really interesting and really kind of a telling sign to what's happening in the market.
Yeah, I agree with you. One thing that I don't think you mentioned, you were talking about a number of different things, but cybersecurity. While there's an acceleration of digital expected, does cybersecurity play a much bigger role, or have we gotten, I want to say, beyond that? Are we coming to terms with it, and therefore it's not going to be the wall that IT departments and utilities put up to say, no way?
I mean, it's a great point. And I think cybersecurity is one of those areas where I think business is kind of up compared to where it would have been in a world without COVID-19. What we did is looking through the different types of technologies, the different segments that make up the broader digital water umbrella, we really did try to narrow on which are the segments that are actually going to see a boost, where's utility attention going in the midst of figuring out on a day-to-day or week-to-week basis, how do we actually deal with this crisis? And so certainly cybersecurity is one area, particularly with, again, 74% of utilities have implementing work from home policies. And we've heard more anecdotally, in some cases, as much as 2/3, even 4/5, 80% of utility staff are working from home for any given utility. So all of a sudden, you've got all of these people working from home. You've got all of these people who are having to connect with laptops. They're not connecting from the security of the office and the kind of firewall that's put up on premise. You've got people having to connect through VPNs, for example. But even just getting everybody set up with that technology and getting everybody online is required a significant investment in cybersecurity, certainly much more attention paid to cybersecurity by utilities that are having to figure out how to operate in this new environment. And so, for example, Cisco has made some basic cybersecurity tools free for utilities and other types of customers, other types of organizations that they work with. But just more anecdotally, I'm hearing that the cybersecurity vendors that serve the water industry have been pretty busy helping their customers kind of deal with this new situation. So cybersecurity is one, but even just, as you mentioned, online and remote collaboration tools, just like every other company in the world, utilities are having to use Zoom or having to use Teams or Skype to kind of keep in touch with one another, which I think is another area where we see certainly a lot of short-term activity, short-term positive growth in digital water, but also like online billing and customer management. A lot of utilities have shut down their customer service centers, their in-person billing counters. So they're forcing customers to pay online or by phone. And so there's been some activity there, getting some of that online. Those would be the technologies that I think are kind of seeing the biggest immediate boost. Even just laptops. I mean, there's been some reporting of Metropolitan Water District of Southern California has had trouble actually getting enough laptops to all of their staff just because there's kind of been a run on laptops. We talk about the run on bottled water, on toilet paper. There's kind of been a run on laptops too. And so utilities are having to all of a sudden figure out the pieces that they need to manage this new way of working.
That's interesting. Like, I didn't even think about that because all the schools too, our kids are being schooled from home. I mean, my kids have laptops, right?
Right, exactly.
Interesting.
So those are the sectors where we see kind of the most immediate positive impact. Looking more broadly at mission critical IT, you know, your core IT or OT systems, you know, like your GIS, your enterprise asset management, your network modeling, your SCADA, those types of systems, we see the impact is a little bit more mixed in the short term. On the one hand, for all those reasons that I mentioned earlier, I think a lot of new projects are being put on hold, whether it be integrating a new SCADA system or replacement SCADA system or new network model. Hydraulic model, for example, a lot of those types of projects, just because they do typically require third-party systems integrators, for example, to actually come out on site and set all of that up. Again, we see a lot of those types of projects being put on hold, but that's kind of a downside risk for those types of vendors. But on the upside, existing customers are having to come buy new licenses, for example, to let all of those remote workers who are all of a sudden working from home have access to the system, right? You still need your engineers to be able to access your hydraulic model. You still need your GIS specialists to have access to your GIS system. And if they can't come into the office, they can't sit at their desktop and do the work that way, they have to be able to access it remotely. And so we have seen kind of a surge in licensing purchases for those types of platforms. And then the last piece is the segments that we expect to see the biggest negative impacts in the short term. And again, as I kind of mentioned earlier, we'd see that primarily like metering and other hardware-based segments where you do need somebody actually out in the field installing this stuff. And so we've heard, for example, everything from utilities like Washington Suburban Sanitary Commission had a big AMI project underway that they put on hold for the indefinite future. Vendors like Landis & Gyr, in putting out their statements on market impacts to date or financial impact to date, they have indicated that quite a number of projects have been put on hold. And then even contractors that work around the country like PMI, Professional Meters, they have also kind of released some statements about putting projects on hold until it's safe for their staff to go out there and be installing these meters again. Those are the segments that, you know, we think are going to see the biggest hit in the short term, although certainly, again, looking out into the future, we do expect business to be booming quite a bit more in the post-2021, 2022 period.
Right. Some brief, what does that mean across the company landscape or competitive landscape, depending on how you look at it? Because the digital water sector feels like all the hundreds of companies we look at, you've got a bunch of startups, smaller companies, firms providing solutions, and then you have the platform players. One thing that's come up a lot in the discussions we've had is, will this change like venture capital or private equity back startups or strategies there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, as I mentioned, in terms of tracking project activity, I'm also tracking venture capital and M&A activity on an ongoing basis, basically on a daily basis for digital water. And again, things have seemed slow. Like I've seen a couple significant M&A deals come through, maybe one or two investments announced. But generally, it feels like things really did hit the pause button as this crisis really started to break out a month or so ago. And actually going through that data right now. So I'll have kind of more data points to point to around that shortly, and they'll certainly be coming out in our research. But I think generally, smaller startups are going to struggle, in part just kind of maintaining the cash flow necessary to sustain their operations, to stay in business. We don't expect a lot of major new VC investments to take place until things start to settle down. I mean, generally, it sounds like the investors are really kind of at this point focusing their attention on their existing portfolio companies, on triaging those companies, making sure that they're doing everything they can to minimize the damage. So we don't expect a lot of new capital coming in via VC or really M&A. We do expect a downturn in business for startups. And again, I think especially those startups that are providing more advanced data analytics, data management solutions, that's another category I didn't really touch on earlier, but they're really interesting and important long-term strategic projects that utilities have been starting to explore as they undergo their broader digital transformation, like asset investment planning or advanced data management, data analytics. All of that, it's really, really valuable for utilities. And this may be, in one way, utilities need those solutions now more than ever. But at the same time, it's not likely that they're going to be able to spend a lot of money on them right now because they're really so focused on just maintaining those day-to-day critical operations. So I think those startups in particular are going to be hurting by the end of this period. And I think that it's fair to expect later in the year, maybe in the next few months, when things start to come back to normal, those startups are going to need some capital infusion. And we do expect to see some consolidation, particularly in the digital landscape. You mentioned the platform players. These are the companies that we see as really the digital water industry incumbents that are hitting across a number of different technologies, a number of different solution areas in digital water. So whether, you know, they may be hitting across metering and billing and network management, or they may be hitting across, you know, asset and plant management, hitting a couple different areas at once. These players have been the most acquisitive. Like when we look at historical M&A for the past 5 or so years in digital water. The top 20, 25 platform players in the US, but even in the world more broadly, have been responsible for a pretty significant share of total M&A. And we expect that those players are going to be in a good position to add to their portfolios, maybe add some new complementary offerings by picking up some startups that maybe the price point would have been a little bit higher before the crisis, but now those startups are maybe a little more desperate for some capital and more willing to take that exit opportunity as quickly as they can. So I guess the short answer to your question is, yeah, we expect some pretty significant consolidation in the aftermath of this crisis.
Yeah, I think triage is a good word. I think a lot of the investment firms, whether it be VC or private equity, like anybody else, they're looking at their portfolios, depending on how diversified they are and what industries or verticals they're focused on. They may be suffering in a lot of different ways, more than just water specifically. They're not that many that are just focused on water. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Right, exactly.
All right, Eric, let's call it a day. I think that was really interesting. I appreciate you stepping up in the meantime till we talk again. I hope you'll be well, be safe, and be kind. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks a lot, Reese. You too.
All right. So this podcast and Water Industry Insight has been brought to you by Bluefield Research, which is advancing water strategies and decisions globally. You can always learn more at bluefieldresearch.com. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to The Future of Water on iTunes or whatever podcast platform you are using. We look forward to hearing from you. If you have any questions, you can always reach out to us at Bluefield Water is our Twitter handle. And you can just go to our website as well and send in a comment or question, and we'll get back to you. This is Reese Tisdale, Bluefield Research. Look forward to hearing from you soon.